This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Tim Egan, and his book is The Immortal Irishman, the Irish revolutionary who became an American hero. So as a traveler in Ireland, there's so many of these inspirational sites. I mean, you talked about the letter that Marr wrote on the eve of his supposed execution before he was put on a ship and sent to the Tasmania. Those letters by patriots, by freedom fighters, knowing they're going to be executed the next morning, are some of the most just inspirational and heartbreaking displays of love and humanity and patriotism. You've got many of those letters, even from the 1916 heroes, right there in Kilmainham Jail.
You do. And you could see where they executed the heroes of the Easter Rebellion.
It's a national shrine, and for good reason.
Right.
And then a mile away, as you said, Dublin Castle, wide open for people to imagine what this British colonialism was like back in the 19th century. And then you get to the center of town, and you've got a giant statue to Daniel O'Connell, and he was the first great Catholic leader, I think.
They called him the Liberator.
The Liberator.
The man who freed the Catholics.
And this is the foot of O'Connell Street. And you walk up that street, and it's just a parade of statues to heroes of Irish independence.
And I'm embarrassed to say I honestly didn't know very much about O'Connell until I explored this book, and then I realized he's Abraham Lincoln to the Irish. Yeah. Because
he's Abraham Lincoln with the gift of gab.
Exactly.
And
when
you put the gift of gab in a political situation like that with a great politician.
That's exactly right.
You've got what he was called, the great orator.
Right.
Talk about those monster rallies where half of the population of the
Island population was the Brits were shivering because they thought, my God, if you can organize it. He had a great gift of gab. Now, Marr sort of broke with him because as he got older, he decided that, you know, it was better to work within the system. And Marr, being a young man and seeing the famine, which radicalized him, thought, no, we don't have time for another generation to work. So he sort of broke with O'Connell near the end.
You know, that's one of the great tragedies of the Irish story. There's the tragedy of Ireland versus English colonialism, and there's also the tragedy of Irish versus Irish on how do we get there.
Exactly. And you saw that in the Irish Civil War in the early 20th century. Yeah. We've always been an argumentative lot.
that's part of Ireland, I guess.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So, and then, of course, when you're traveling in Ireland, you get vivid famine sites, famine ships. There's a wonderful new exhibit in Dublin called The Epic.
There is.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful exhibit about the diaspora and the whole story of that. And then, as you mentioned, you've got the famine villages.
Yeah. So many Americans go to Ireland, again, for the things I mentioned earlier. So many Irish Americans go to find their family. But I would say a third element, go to touch your history, to realize where we came from. And it'll inform your politics of today.
It's so impressive to think about the diaspora. Irish people went all over the world. 30 million people in America have Irish roots.
They called them the wild geese. And two important things. Australia was basically founded with Irish labor. They would actually sweep orphan girls off the street. One in four of the first people they took there, remember, it was a convict, started, were Irish orphans. And they just took them against their will. Tasmania, as I mentioned earlier, was the home of the political prisoners.
So, and that was part of the diaspora. So some of the best and the brightest were put on ships. And sent
to this day, I get a lot of notes from people in Australia. It's, you are damn proud of yourself if you can trace your heritage to being one of those Irish who was forced to go to Australia.
Because there's probably a few thugs and lowlives in those ships.
Of course.
But also a lot of very high-minded, idealistic revolutionaries.
Exactly. And then the diaspora here, of course, is 30 million people.
Well, you write about all these people that left. And you can trace these amazing lives and contributors to civilization and history and the arts and so on. In 1848, you said in your book, you said the Lennon family moved to Liverpool. Check back in 110 years. And then you said the Kennedys moved to Boston.
Uh-huh.
So
to produce our first Irish Catholic president. And then another family moved from County Offaly to produce Barack Obama.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.